Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we're going to talk about making money yet again, but this time we're going to talk about indirect ways that you can make money from your blog.
So you and I have both done this, but what made me think of this was a student in our course who just published a book. I mean, I know you just published a book. We've talked about that ad nauseum.
I've got it right here in case this ever goes to video.
That's right.
So
I don't know. Can we say her name?
We can, of course.
Okay. I don't know her last name. You'll have to do
Sarah Winkler.
Winkler. Okay. So Sarah Winkler joined our course a long time ago. And she has a blog about basically sustainable living, I think was kind of the topic. And she just recently, within the past couple of months, published a book called Recycling for Dummies. And it is of the Dummies collection.
Correct. Which Dummies, I think, is owned by Wiley, which is a major publisher.
Yes. So that got me thinking about a lot of people start, you know, a lot of people think about creating a blog. It's pretty common. There's millions and millions of blogs out there. But sometimes people get started and they realize that they don't actually love the blogging part. And so there's lots of things that you can do because you have a blog where you leverage the credibility of the blog to actually do something that you really want to do. For Sarah, it was, I think, in some ways, get the book published, which is a major publication, a great deal. And now she just took her authority level just to a whole nother atmosphere, right? Like, it's just, she went from having a blog about sustainable living to being the author of Recycling for Dummies, which is huge. Like, to me, it's like, you know more than everybody else at that point.
You know what's funny is, like, she downplayed the whole thing.
Yes, she did.
I was like, that's incredible. Because the Four Dummies book is probably one of their leading franchises in the space, right? There's Four Dummies books on every topic. And the fact that they selected her to write the recycling one, very impressive.
What's really funny about how much she downplayed it is that when she sent us the email, I actually thought, because she downplayed it so much, I thought she wrote a book called Recycling for Dummies. And I was going to respond with, you might want to change the title because I don't think you can use that. because that already exists. Like, I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, you can't just call something Recycling for Dummies. And then I reread it and I was like, oh no, she wrote Recycling for Dummies. Like, she didn't just like wrote a different book and published it under that name. Like, she is the person. So anyway, that's how much she downplayed it. I thought she just, like, you know, wrote an ebook and put it on her website called Recycling for Dummies. And I was like, well, you can't do that. And then I realized that it was a lot bigger deal.
You didn't realize until you walked into Barnes & Noble, saw it on the shelf,
right,
and bought it.
Saw it on the big table in the front. Yours is, like, buried underneath. Hers is, like, right there for Earth Day. So anyway, pretty cool. But it got me thinking about, like, there's a lot of things you can do to leverage the blog content into doing other things that will make you money. Obviously, writing a book is one of the most popular ones these days. We know tons of people who've written books that got the book deal because of their website. You pretty much got the book deal because of YouTube and your website, I would say. Maybe you didn't even have YouTube when you got the book deal, actually.
I didn't have YouTube when I got the book deal.
Basically, off your blog was like a big factor in you being able to secure the book deal.
Yes. And just to be clear for everyone listening out there, like, I don't like blogging. It's a slog. It's just, in general, though, people have to find you somewhere.
Yeah.
And blogging just happens to be one of the best ways. YouTube just happens to be one of the best ways to do that.
Yeah. So another way to make money indirectly from blogging, as I think about, I don't know if you know John Acuff. I know he's a friend of Jeff.
Actually, you know, I just got a request for him to come on my podcast. Like, his publisher reached out to me.
He is hilarious and amazing. But I first heard him speak. So he had a blog a long time ago called, I think it was like Stuff Christians Like or something like that. And it was kind of like a snarky, it was like a gentle poking fun. It wasn't disrespectful. It was kind of like making fun of himself, right? And he basically had that blog and grew like pretty popular from that blog and ended up leveraging it to like a massive speaking career. Like, he's a paid speaker. He also publishes books, but he really wanted to be in the speaking circuit. And now he's a highly sought after speaker probably around the world, but definitely around the US.
Did you know that he sold 2 million books?
That's impressive. His books are great. I've read, I think I've read every one of his books that he's come out with.
Yeah, which is crazy. 2 million books is
a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of books. Anyway, I didn't realize he started out with a blog, though.
He did. He had a blog. I think it was called Stuff Christians Like. And this was in like 2009, 2008. And actually, I think, you know, he used to work with Dave Ramsey, I think it was. I might be messing the story up a little bit. But the problem was the blog was actually on like a Dave Ramsey domain. And so I think when he left Dave Ramsey, he lost the blog. Because he talks about in one of his stories about how he was at like a very low point in his career, maybe 10, 15 years ago. And he actually put this picture on social media a while back of him sitting in like an auditorium room, and he's by himself, and he basically had blocked off the time for people to come see him after his talk and sign his book. And two people showed up, and one of them was like his brother. It was like really bad, right? And he basically was using it like, don't let your failures determine what your next steps are in life, right? Like, don't let one failure change the outcourse of your future. But yeah, so I think he actually lost the website when he left, and there was like some, I don't want to say drama because he's not a drama person, but there was some, you know, interesting things that happened around that. But he basically leveraged his online persona to, you know, a very successful speaking career. And he's not the only person that we've known to do this, but he's the one that I thought of, you know, first off the top of my head.
I mean, I think Grant Baldwin's another example of that. He had a blog, and then he turned that into an Inc. 5000 business.
Yeah. And he, not only does he speak, he also turned it into a course teaching people how to negotiate and speak and all that. So he basically leveraged multiple ways to do that.
You know, I think the problem with blogging, at least perception wise, is that you put out all this content, but it's not directly monetizable, right?
Right.
You have to actually think of ways to make money with it outside of just putting ads on the blog. So, I guess what have we talked about so far? We talked about writing a book, which in my opinion is not the best way to make money, unless you're doing your own ebook, I think. If you're self-publishing, I think you can make a good amount of money. There's this personal finance blogger. I can't remember his name right now, but he had a personal finance blog and it wasn't like fully monetized, meaning like he was just doing ads, and he just started putting about ebooks. Like he took his blog posts and he categorized them.
Oh, yes. I'm trying to think of who that is.
He's not like really public. Yeah. You know, he doesn't even put his name out there. Is his name like 5 Cent Nickel? Or I can't remember.
Yeah.
But he put out these books and they generate him 5 figures a month in passive revenue off of self-publishing.
Yeah. Well, I think the book can make you money in a variety of different ways, but it's definitely an avenue to go down if you are taking the blogging course or blogging method. Like I think about another person that wrote a book was Erin Chase, right? She got, after she launched her blog, she got a book deal within like 6 months, I think, of launching her blog because it was so popular. But she leveraged those books into like massive media appearances. I mean, she's been on everything from like the Today Show to Rachel Ray. And all of that leveraged her popularity and her online presence, which then sort of snowballed into a bunch of other things. So I think a book, while the actual payout for like a traditionally published book is probably not amazing for most people, it can then open doors for lots of other things. Or you may end up like a John Acuff and sell 2 million books, right? I mean, think about Glennon Doyle. She's a perfect example. She had a mommy blog. She, you know, her husband and her had all these issues. She wrote a book about it. She ended up like Oprah Winfrey did her book in the book club. She wrote a second book, New York Times bestseller. So you definitely can do it that way. It's just, you know, it's kind of like not everybody's going to make it in the NFL or the NBA, right? Like, but there are people that definitely can leverage that into very lucrative amounts of money.
Yeah. Well, let's switch gears and talk about our mutual friend, PT.
Yes.
He had a blog called PT Money, and he leveraged that to create one of the largest personal finance conferences in the world.
Yes. And you can leverage your website. Like, obviously, FinCon is a massive event, and it's spread far beyond blogging. I think at the last FinCon that you and I were at, there were everyone from accountants to financial media people to straight up just bloggers like you and myself, Deacon, you know, those sorts of people. So I think that you can leverage that. But I also know a lot of people who have turned their blog into small events, or not at the level of FinCon, right? I mean, FinCon is a hugely popular and profitable endeavor. But I think of our friend Jordan Page, who runs Fun, Cheap, or Free, and she blogs about frugality. But she leveraged her blog to have these smaller, you know, 100, 200 person events where she teaches you how to save money and get your life in order. And from that, makes money from the event, but also has sponsors at the event. So she brings in revenue from the sponsors. And then she sells certain planners and things like that. So she leverages the event to basically be this, you know, cash cow. I mean, I don't think it's a cash cow, but it definitely makes her a good amount of money in just ticket sales, sponsorships, and then product sales from the event. Plus the added community and loyalty component of once people meet you at an event, they tend to be much more loyal to you in general. So probably upping her site revenue as well.
I mean, this is essentially your playbook, right?
My playbook.
Well, you leveraged it into an event, mm-hmm. and it started out small.
Yeah.
And then you turned it into kind of like a mastermind over the years, right?
Yeah. I never did the event. It's funny. Andrew and I were just talking about this the other day. We never started Savvy to make money. Our goal was that we were going to these blogger conferences and no one was talking about making money. So we're like, well, what if we just held our own event? And then we did end up learning how to make money from an event, although definitely not right away. But it's definitely something. I know tons of people who do these little local things. And so I think that there's definitely money in it. What we benefited from starting Savvy is it actually turned into a exceptionally lucrative consulting gig for us.
Oh.
Because we had started Savvy, which was the conference, it caught the eye of basically savings.com, which is a subsidiary of Cox Media. And they wanted to start building this community around basically groceries, like saving money. And they already had like a saving money website. And they were like, well, these people have these, you know, four women have created such an amazing community. They're probably really good at that. Let's bring them on as consultants to then help us build a, you know, 100 times larger community of people who want to save money. So I think that's the next thing we can talk about is you can leverage your blog expertise or whatever you're doing into a consulting gig, which I know tons of bloggers who have done this. And the nice thing about this one is that you don't have to stop blogging or even like leave your day job, right? This can be a complete side hustle. You can, you know, say I can do 5 hours a month. I mean, we've done very small consulting gigs for companies that want to understand the e-commerce landscape better or things like that. You can charge a premium for it because you are the expert and it's not really going to interfere with the other things that you're doing unless you end up taking it like to a full-time type position.
Is this how you got Savings?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. That's how we got it. They thought because they were a sponsor of our event. And when they came the first year, they were just blown away by like the level of community that we had. And they basically wanted to hire us to create it. Now, the hard thing is it's really hard to create community. I mean, it's not like you can just snap your fingers and like, hey, now here's a new community. Like you have to work. We had the relationships that we had from our blog conference were years in the making. So we were able to create a community for them. And I think we provided a lot of value for that company and for Cox in general. But also it's not something that's community is something that's hard to just hire someone to do.
Can we talk about that real quick?
Yeah.
How did you create that community?
The blogger community?
Yeah.
Well, I think the event was definitely the linchpin, right? Is everyone coming together once a year. But I think we created it on Twitter because this is back before Facebook was as big as it was, is that we basically did Twitter parties and we communicated and we shared information. And I think that was the biggest part of the community was that we were not afraid to share information about our businesses with other people. So you and I often will talk in the course, we'll give like very raw numbers and like, we'll talk about things failing. We'll talk about the successes. We'll share actual, you know, data points as opposed to I 10X my revenue, right? Well, you started at a dollar. So, you know, kind of thing. And so I think because we were so transparent with our own businesses, it encouraged other people to be transparent. And then I think the transparency in itself creates that vulnerability, and then the vulnerability sort of builds that community because people felt like it was a safe space where they could share their wins and their failures and not feel judged or feel like, oh, everyone's going to not want to talk to me anymore. It's like, hey, we've all had things that didn't go right or blew up, or and we all have gotten lucky on things too. So I think that was the biggest component of the community aspect.
Do these Twitter parties still exist? Do people still do them?
I think people still do them. I'm not a part of them. Although I just read this article the other day about this guy who tweeted like 360 times a day. Did you see this article?
No, 365 times a day.
Except for they clarified that like when someone like comments on your tweet or whatever, it counts as like a tweet in Twitter, like it aggregates that number. So he was tweeting like 50 times a day or 60 times a day. Like it was still a really high amount, but they did this whole survey study of how the times he tweeted were directly related to his Twitter growth. He went from zero to like 50,000 Twitter followers in 3 months or something like that. And real followers, not spammy. But he tweeted so much that they basically talked about it. It was like compounding interest, right? Like,
sure.
The more you tweet, the more impressions, the more people see it, the more people comment, the more people see it, you know, blah, blah, blah. So as he started growing, he kept tweeting more to the point where he was tweeting like 300 times a day. I was like, I don't have that much to say, and I got a lot to say.
That's actually how all social media works for the most part.
Yeah, it's like, true.
The people who are doing really well on TikTok are posting like I think Alex Hormozi says he posts like 10 times a day or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
Like he's a factory.
Yeah.
Basically.
But what was interesting is they actually had like a chart that showed the direct correlation.
Oh, is that right?
Which was to me the fascinating part, because a lot of people, like, we talk about this all the time. The more you post, the more followers you get. But like you actually saw, like, week one, he did this. Week two, he did this. This is how many followers, and you saw the growth. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of what other indirect ways that the blog has benefited. I know for Bumblebee Linens, I think that's how we've gotten almost all of our press mentions. Mm-hmm. Like Vogue, Martha Stewart Weddings, Real Simple, Brides Magazine. It's all from articles on the blog because those tend to rank higher. And then they look at our products.
Yeah. So another indirect way that I've made money personally, and I know other people have done it as well, is like taking brand ambassadorship to another level. I mean, I think we've talked about brand ambassadorship as like a blog revenue tool, but I ended up doing a deal with Safety First, the baby gate and lock company, where I actually did a TV show for them.
Oh.
And so I went on, you know, those home makeovers where they like send the military family away for the weekend and they come back and their whole house has been remodeled. So I actually was part of a show like that as a Safety First representative. And so that was super lucrative because they had to pay me to go on television. Right. And I know a lot of—
Are you willing to reveal the amount? I'm curious.
10 grand.
10 grand. Okay. And yeah. Then they sent the film crew to your place.
I know that they flew me to Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, like your family or just you?
Just me. Cause I went into this house where they were filming and like, I was the person that I installed all the baby safety gates, although I didn't install anything. But yeah, it's TV, right?
Right. Right.
But I know a lot of people who've leveraged their website, and I got the deal because I had kids. I wrote about kids stuff. And so I was a perfect like representative for the brand. Which I would never have been asked if I didn't have a website, right? Like that was absolutely the key to getting the opportunity. But, it's funny because when I gave the $10,000, they immediately said yes. And I knew immediately I was too low.
Oh, you proposed the amount.
Yeah. Well, like, have you ever been asked to be on a TV show? Like, no, right? Like I've done news before, like where the news, you and I have done the same type of news stories, but this was actually a show that came on. I think it was like HLN or one of those. So I had no idea what to charge. And I asked around to a couple people, but at the time, no one I knew had really done something like that. And because if you get on like the Today Show or Rachel Ray, you're not getting paid. That is a pure publicity stunt for yourself. So I was like, 10 grand seems like a lot of money. Plus they had to pay all my expenses and things like that to like get up there.
Right.
And they immediately said yes and like sent me the contract. And I was like, dang it, I probably should have said 25. but to me, it was like, it was literally a day and a half of work. So a day and a half of work for 10 grand.
Yeah. No, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to complain. If anyone else wants to pay me 10 grand for a day and a half of work, I'm all in. But what it did was it, not only did I make just straight up money from doing that, I met all these people in the TV business. I actually got offered to host something else, from that one, appearance, which I ended up not being able to do because I had a time conflict, like scheduling conflict, but it just opens you up to, like, once you do one thing like that, it opens you up to lots of other things that are similar. So yeah. So that's, and I know a lot of people who have, like, Erin, our friend Erin that we already talked about, because she had done so much media for her book, she got picked. I can't think of the name of these things, but basically, you know, when, like, if someone launches a new product or it's like the holiday season, like, you guys have been featured on the Today Show with Bumblebee with the handkerchiefs. Mm-hmm. But you know, when someone goes on like the Today Show and they have like a new cleaning product or a new suitcase or something like that, where they're like showing you how easy it is to pack and they have all these like packing cubes, right? Well, what that person is actually doing is they're on every single show. So they're on like 25 shows and they film these episodes like basically in a 16 to 18 hour period. So basically you do the exact same script over and over again, 20 times, and it gets put on all these, basically gets syndicated with, except for you have to refilm each time. But Erin's done some of those. Those are also very lucrative, where you're basically the brand ambassador, but you're not writing it on your own website. You're doing it fully for the media.
I mean, come to think of it, like, another indirect way of making money with the blog is you'll find that people will ask you for stuff. Yeah. That's the whole reason why my whole course got started. Mm-hmm. I started blogging. People started asking for the class. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll just put something out. And then that turned out to be a really lucrative income stream. I think same with physical products. People might ask you about things. And if you, about a certain product that you talk about on your blog. And you might say to yourself, hey, why should I point people to other people's products? Why not just make my own line?
And what's interesting is I think of two people right off the bat who did this exceptionally well. The first one is the people from Young House Love. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they were like home flippers back in the day. And they basically, and they actually didn't have ads on their site for a really long time. And they ended up leveraging their website to design like a lamp and accessories collection for Lowe's. So they didn't just like start into physical products. They actually got a deal with Lowe's and had their products in Lowe's. Same thing with Pioneer Woman. I mean, she has a whole cookware line. I think it's at Walmart. And she literally started blogging like right before right when I started blogging. Her and I started about the same time. She obviously,
do you know her?
I've met her. We're definitely not friends. But you know, she leveraged it into a Food Network show, a kitchen line. I mean, who knows what else she's doing? She probably has like a restaurant at this point. Who knows? But you know, she leveraged that blog into a lot of exceptionally lucrative deals. Same thing with, like, I don't recommend this, but like reality TV. I've seen bloggers do reality TV. There's just a lot of opportunity. Do you remember Pinch of Yum?
Of course.
Yeah.
York.
Yes.
I think Ostrom. Yeah.
Yes. I think it's Pinch of Yum who is, she got a job as a food photographer for Williams-Sonoma.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So she's now a professional photographer. So she leveraged the website into like a photography business for, I mean, Williams-Sonoma. You don't get much more, you know, fancy pants than that when it comes to the food world.
Yeah. So someone who was at Seller Summit, his name is Garrett Yamazaki. He had a blog called I Love Doodles.
Okay.
And then people were asking him, I think, for like a dog brush or something. Mm-hmm. So he decided to private label his own. And then I think he made like $1 million, ran out of stock in like 8 months.
Yeah.
Doing that. And then I convinced him to come to Seller Summit.
Sorry, you don't have an inventory. But I do think, you know, turning the blog into a physical, I mean, that's kind of what I thought I was going to do when I got into physical products, is I thought I would leverage the website. It ended up not really working out that way for me, but it, Rachel Miller, who does all the Facebook stuff, she leveraged her website to sell physical products. We know other people who have done the same thing. And you don't have to get a deal with Food Network to sell physical products from your blog.
Actually, Rachel Miller has a software product now, a SaaS product.
I just saw that.
Right. So, I mean, the blog has moved over to SaaS. So that's like a whole different beast in itself.
But I also feel like Rachel Miller probably would have never got to this point had she not started with a, her and I actually were friends early on. In fact, when she came and spoke at Seller Summit, she's like, do you remember when we met in 2009? I was like, of course. You were like the only person at this event that I felt like was serious about blogging. Like she was like laser serious, like I mean, laser focus is not a good term for her because she's kind of all over the place. But she was the only person there that I connected with on like a, hey, are you making money? How are you making money? You know, because she was already like, she knew it. She knew the deal back in the day.
I mean, she does a lot of stuff, but yes. She gets it done. Yes. So she has all these projects, but she somehow manages to get it all.
Yeah. Well, and think about our good friends, Paul and Tiffany. They leveraged their audience to a, you know, multi-million dollar clothing company. And solely because they got so good at building community from their websites and their blogs.
By the way, you have to see her sell live. Yes. It's pretty amazing. So at Seller Summit, and I think this is all recorded, right? In the virtual past?
Yeah, yeah.
So my wife actually went on and she sold my sister-in-law's products live to Tiffany's audience. And I think they sold something like $1,800 worth of product in 7 minutes or something crazy like that.
Yeah, it was nuts. I think I was sending you pictures of like how much money was coming in. So,
and I was so proud of Jen because that's like way beyond her comfort zone.
She did awesome. She was really good. So I like her energy level when she started, like kind of took me back in the chair because I was like, wait, who is this person that's like all of a sudden got Tiffany level energy?
I know you sent me the video. I'm like, that's not my wife.
I know. Know that woman.
She flipped the switch and all of a sudden she was like, the energy level was 10x. Yeah. She was like all smiley and
posing,
you know, energetic. Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And I have done live selling with Tiffany. It's definitely a rush. But you know, one of the reasons why Tiffany and Paul are so good at that is because they have, you know, 15, 16 years of community building and understanding how to talk to people. Paul, I don't know if you know this, but Paul had a blog called I Heart the Mart. So every single morning he would like take the kids to school and then go to Walmart. And this was back before people were doing like video and all that stuff. And he would go into his local Walmart and find the deals of the day because Walmart changes their prices a lot. And he would find the deals and basically post video and photos of him, like, you know, pointing to like the detergent with the rollback sign and stuff like that. But, and then they would interact in the comments. So like they were doing this 10 years before they ever tried to sell a physical product online. So they definitely leveraged their audience when they started selling as well. Like they already had that built-in audience.
Yeah. You know what? I can't stress this enough. Like if you're really into something, just document it.
Yeah.
I told this story, I think, on a podcast I was on, but there's this guy. We compete on everything in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And we were playing Super Mario Kart one night, and he just like totally destroyed me because I don't play.
Okay.
But he talked so much trash that I got pissed. So I actually looked up Super Mario Kart coaches. And there are Super Mario Kart coaches. Okay. And like if I go through a similar incident and he talks trash, I'm gonna actually hire one and kick his butt.
Okay.
My point is that there's coaches material out there that cater to every single thing that you can think of. So you might think that what you want to write about or make videos about, it isn't popular, but there's probably a group of people out there that want to learn more about it.
Yep. And I think that's another, you know, kind of way to leverage your website. And it's what you did years ago. You had a website, you were talking about your own e-commerce business, and basically you began to offer a course. We know tons of people who have, you know, turned their website, and they still have their website, they still have tons of free content for people, but then they have that paid level of content where it's, you know, more handholding or more step-by-step or more in-depth, whatever your differentiating factor is for the course. But a course is it's not the easiest way, but it's definitely something that's sort of a no-brainer if you are doing something that leverage, you know, allows itself to something like people paying for the information.
Or you can do what our buddy Andrew Udarian did, which is to start a paid community.
Yeah.
So I remember back when Andrew started e-commerce fuel for the very first time. So I was like one of the first 25 charter members, I should say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got in there, we created content and whatnot. And then just as the community built, he started charging for it. And today, I don't even know what he does all day, to be honest with you.
Nobody knows,
but you know, he collects a lot of money every single month.
Yeah.
And he's not even responsible for the content. The content is actually made by the members.
Which is good because he doesn't sell anything anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know how much he could contribute.
He knows a lot. He's definitely got his hand on the pulse of the community. But yeah, that's another great way to leverage your audience. Another thing that, and this is one of those things where I feel like so many times we talk about, oh, you want to start a business online, freedom, flexibility. Some people crave having a different, they don't crave that freedom and flexibility. And I can't think of the name of this person, but she started an organizing website back when I was first starting. Like we kind of started in the same time. And she basically leveraged it into a professional organizing service, right? Where she went into people's houses and then she started hiring people. Like she kind of franchised it out or whatever, to going and like redoing people's closets and going and organizing people's pantries. And basically, you know, she still had her website, but basically it was a lead gen to creating this like in-person organizing thing. And for her, she craved that in-person contact and interactions with people. So I think that's another thing that you know, there might be an opportunity there. And even if you don't run it your whole life, like you can obviously build something up and then have other people running it and you're just managing it. I think of, there's someone else that I read about, I don't know them personally, that basically did that with a cleaning service, right? They wrote about how to clean stuff and ended up starting like a pretty substantial cleaning service, you know, where basically the blog just became a way to get leads for people to hire the service of, you know, she had, you know, multiple groups of people going in and cleaning.
Our mutual friend, Jeff Rose, did something similar. Back in the day, he was just writing about life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And people started asking him, hey, where do you recommend I get life insurance? And he actually didn't sell life insurance at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he found all these partners and he brokered, like he went around and said, hey, I'm going to send you some business. Give me a cut of the sale.
Yeah.
And so he created this like network of life insurance providers.
Speaking of Jeff, it makes me think of all of our friends at FinCon. There's a lot of people at FinCon that started out as bloggers and then realized they didn't actually like blogging, but they liked writing. And so they became freelancers.
Yes. I'm thinking of Miranda.
Yeah, I think of, I want to say, it's not Zima. What's his surname?
Oh, yeah. Zima? That's her name, right?
Okay, I think
Zina.
So.
Zina. Yeah. Zina Kumuk or, yeah.
I always get it. I feel bad because I never get it quite right. But we know several people who basically, Holly Johnson, it's another one.
Oh, yeah.
Basically leveraged a website into, you know, people are like, hey, you can really write. And basically leveraged it into a very, I mean, like Miranda is so sought after. She like tells people no all day long.
Actually, I think she told me no recently.
she tells everybody no.
Well, the thing is like now that she's so sought after.
Yeah.
I think she charges like thousands of dollars per post to write, and which goes way beyond the rate that I was willing to pay her.
Yeah.
But
I think that's another, you know, maybe you're, it's not writing, but maybe you're an amazing video editor, or, you know, maybe you find that in the process of writing or creating videos, that you have an ability that's, you know, above the average ability to do one of those things. People ask us all the time. I need someone to edit my videos. I need someone to help. I need someone to write an article. You can leverage that into a nice, it's not even a side hustle. It could be your full-time job.
I mean, I had this one friend here, his Stanford classmate. He was really into underwater photography.
Mm-hmm.
So all he did was he created a website and he just posted his images. And that led to one of the largest underwater photography communities ever. He started that. And I think he started like a publication about underwater photography as well. It just turned into this like random thing. Just from the fact that you just posted photos, not even text or anything, just photos.
Interesting. Well, actually, speaking of publications, I have some friends that started out in the homeschool blog world and ended up creating a homeschool magazine, like a printed mail to your house every month magazine. So that's just another. I mean, that's definitely like, that would not be my recommendation on how to make money, because magazines are not, not exactly. I don't know. I don't know. Do you make money making magazines anymore? I mean,
I have no idea. Yeah. I mean,
it seems like a lot of work with paper and ads. And all that
did
stuff.
You know that there's still something like 15 million people in the U.S. that still get the paper?
My mother's one of them. So yes, I did.
Right. That. So 15 million, that's not tiny. And the only reason I know this is because I actually tried to go out and buy the Wall Street Journal, because I was in it and it was $6 for the paper. $6.
You're like, don't all these ads pay for this? What?
I was going to buy 5 copies. I ended up only buying 2.
Oh my word. Stop it.
Plus, you're I don't actually carry that many.
Don't touch it. Don't put your greasy little fingers on my paper. Can't afford another one.
No, the Washington Post used to be 25 cents. No joke.
Okay, yeah, when you were 7.
Yes, it was 25 cents. 50 cents for the Sunday edition.
Yes. Actually, another job Tiffany had was she sold newspapers for one of the big, I think it was Gannett. She basically leveraged her website to go around the country, host coupon classes. And the way she made money from the classes was she sold subscriptions to the newspaper because that's where you got your coupons. And she made $10 per subscription that she sold. And so she would do these classes and she'd sell 200-300 subscriptions in a class and then move to the next city, sell 200-300 subscriptions to the paper. She did that for years.
I mean, let's look at something you did kind of semi-recently too. Okay. All you did is you started posting outfits on Instagram. I don't know why you stopped doing this, but you got a couple of deals out of that too, right?
I did. I stopped doing it because I literally wear the same thing every day now. I've gotten lazy. I wear shorts and a t-shirt. I'm like, I'm too lazy to put on anything else.
I mean, I have a couple of friends that do something similar to what you were doing, mm-hmm. and they just get clothes sent to them.
Yes. Yeah.
And then they just wear it. And I don't know what they do. I guess they keep it afterwards.
Yeah.
But, you know, once you have that following, you never have to spend any money on your wardrobe ever again.
I mean, that's true. And I remember, you know, back when I stopped accepting a lot of freebies because I didn't want to deal with it. Because what happens is the people just start sending you stuff unsolicited and then you're like, oh, you know, I got to deal with all this. But I mean, I got so much free stuff. My kids will talk about back in the day, right? When like free toys, free food, free everything. But then it gets overwhelming and I was like trying to be more of a Marie Kondo. So I was like, no more freebies.
You know what Marie Kondo recently said though,
I know,
right?
She said, forget this. I have children. Now I'm a pack rat. but I will say like, I mean, my daughter still sleeps on her free Sleep Number bed. So, and you and I both just bought one recently. So, you know, that was not a cheap thing.
Yes.
Many family not vacations cheap. Paid for from free trips from, companies, which speaking of travel, our friend Greg Johnson, basically just like they have a travel blog. They have a travel blog and a frugal blog. The travel blog, they love to travel. They travel all over the country or the world because Holly writes, she's a freelancer. So she writes a lot of travel articles. But Greg basically leveraged that into a, like, I don't know, it's like a boutique agency. So not just a regular travel agency where you have them book like anything, but basically he puts together these packages, right? Where it's like 10 days and 10 nights and, you know, these 3 countries, and it includes your airfare and your hotel and like 7 meals and all this stuff, which a lot of people love because it's, I mean, I did that trip last year. It's hard to plan trips overseas when you've never been somewhere and you don't know where to stay or the most important things to do. So basically he's leveraging their travel community to basically become like a boutique agency. And obviously he's taking a cut and they still get to travel, right? So they're getting all the benefits. They get to travel on these trips that they love to do. And then they're going to make money from selling the packages.
Yeah, totally. I'm just thinking about if you're listening to this and you go on a lot of vacations, literally the blog is like the perfect excuse for you to expense a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, actually, in our course, Pilar is a flight attendant. She travels all over the world. She writes travel brochures, and literally travel agencies are now paying her for her travel brochures. So she basically leveraged her, you know, beginning. She had a very beginning blog. The first thing she did was write these travel brochures. And within 2 to 3 months, she got picked up by these agencies, and she's getting orders. And it's so funny because they still want printed brochures. So she had to figure out how to get them printed and all this other stuff. And she's always in the air. I feel like every time she comes on office hours, she's like, I'm about to take off. The boarding door's closing. I'm like, these poor people, all their luggage is like falling out of the overhead bin because Pilar's on office hours with us. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways that you can turn what you love and what you've started writing about into something that, you know, makes you money and you're still really excited to do it.
I'm just thinking about your motorcycle stuff. I mean, yeah. Once it's all up and running, you can literally expense most of your motorcycle equipment.
I know.
Which is pretty amazing.
I mean, that sounds, yeah. It feels, it's like that lady on TikTok that like tells you all the tax hacks and you're like, this feels wrong, but, and then it's like all these things you're like, it does feel really wrong, but that's okay.
I mean, bottom line, like if we're going to wrap this up, if you have something that you're really into, just document it. Doesn't have to be on a blog. Blog is probably the easiest to get started, but you can do it on YouTube. You can even just start documenting in short form video or just even like social media, Facebook and Instagram. Bottom line, and I say this a lot, it's like a stock that can only go up, right? Because the more content you have out there, the more likely someone random is going to discover you, and that always leads to opportunity. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.